إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار وقال فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار وقال إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الألباب صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that we should look at the things that are happening around us and take lessons from it. We should reflect upon the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heavens, the earth, the skies, the trees, the flowers, the animals, ourselves. And through that reflection, understand through it the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the changing of the night and day, there are signs for the people of understanding. So, the word اِخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, literally translated, it means the changing of the night and day. Okay, but if you look at it from a different perspective, you can get a deeper meaning, and that is the situations that we see night and day taking place around us, reflecting upon those. The events that take place around us, thinking and pondering over them, and understanding something from it, and taking a lesson from it. So, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, the changing of the night and day, can also mean the changing of the situations of night and day, the things that we see happening around us. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَآيَاتِ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, in these things there are signs for the people of understanding. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ, those people that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا, standing and sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, and on their sides, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they ponder into the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا, oh our Lord, you didn't create anything in vain, سُبْحَانَكَ, you are pure, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save us from the punishment of the fire. And in other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, look at the situations of the people that were before you. Look at the stories of the people that were before you. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا, wander on the earth and walk throughout the earth and see, look, ponder, كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, how was the situation of the people, how was the outcome of the people that denied. So save and wandering on the earth with the intention of taking a lesson from it, this is pointed out to us in the Quran. And again throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَتَذِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, take heed, take a lesson, O people of understanding. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, indeed in this thing, in the stories that are mentioned, there is a sign, there are lessons for the people of understanding. So my dear respected elders and brothers and sisters, the situation that has arisen, we are fully aware what has happened in the election in the past couple of weeks. But as Muslims, how should we take this and what are the lessons that we can understand from the elections that have taken place? First and foremost, I sincerely believe that Muslims in this country have a great purpose to fill. Muslims in this country, they have so many qualifications, so many qualities, and so much in terms of resources that are available to them, that they could use for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right now, Islam is at a crossroads in this country, and the iron is hot to strike. If we avail of this opportunity of teaching people about Islam, the negativity which surrounds Islam can be gotten rid of once and for all. If we pay attention to what happened during the election campaigns, the issue of terrorism came up again and again with the view of trying to dissuade people from voting for the president-elect. But there is now a neutrality to this, where people are not paying attention to that thing anymore. So, from this we can understand that the negativity which we've had in this country for the past 8 years or so, which is related to Muslims, it may be still there, but it is dying down slowly. Part of it is due to the educational steps that we've taken to educate people, the open houses and the literature and the dawah and all of the things that are going on. But part of it is that people are finally realizing themselves that not all Muslims can be just regarded and put under one category of terrorists. So from that we can understand that Muslims, they can make an effort and teach people about Islam, and the negativity that still persists to this day, even though it is diminishing slowly, it can be gotten rid of once and for all. The fact that we have a person in office, or who will be in office in the next couple of months, who has a multicultural background. He has a background of having Islam in his family, being raised in a Muslim country for a while, and having exposure to all different cultures. That thing can only be positive for Muslims. So these are the things that we need to, you know, think about a little bit, and we need to think of this as an opportunity. Remember that all the eyes are on the leader of this country at all times, and all the steps that are taken, they could be positive for the Muslims, and the next few years we have to take the opportunity of giving as much dawah as possible. If we look at what has happened in the civil rights movement in the past 40 years or so, there have been huge steps taken for the African Americans in this country. We can draw parallels from this civil rights movement to things that happened during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Many challenges came to the Prophet ﷺ. Many hurdles came to the Prophet ﷺ. Many adversities came to the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet, he showed by example that these adversities, they are just blips that you just need to challenge and you need to face and you need to fight. And if you continue to fight, the way will open up for you. Ways will open up for you. You can either just sit down and say no, and have a negative attitude and say that no, nothing is going our way, nothing is going to happen for us, we're going to be continuously oppressed, and we're going to be always under the thumb of the authorities. Or we can take a lesson from this event that took place and understand that as Muslims, we can also use our constitutional rights, and we can also participate in the system that is already there in the country and make headways into promoting Islam this way. So which route do we want to take? Even amongst the African Americans, if you talk to maybe even 90 or 95%, many of them could not ever believe that they could have an African American president in office. 95%. But the people that believed that it could happen, they pushed and they fought and they stood up and they knew that the system is there, that if they use the system, they can rise to the top. Look at the parallel that we can draw from the story Ghazwatul Ahzab. And we might have heard this story many, many times about how the Muslims were surrounded by a huge army of disbelievers that had united to destroy the Muslims once and for all. That's why the battle, technically a battle or a fight, never took place, but it's known as Ghazwatul Ahzab or Ghazwatul Khandaq. So Al-Ahzab means the confederates, meaning all the combination of all the disbelievers that had got together and united against the Muslims to destroy them once and for all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Muslims in the Quran and he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. O people of Iman, remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ, when armies came to you. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and we sent upon them a wind and armies that you could not see. So ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent these confederate armies away by sending a strong wind which destroyed their camps, and they had to flee, they had to retreat and go back to their homes. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was watching everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people what happened at that time, which was very, very tough for the Muslims. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. When they came from above you and from below you, the whole of Medina was surrounded. And the people's eyes were opened out of fear. And the hearts had reached the throats. When a person is afraid, it seems like his heart is in the throat. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and you started having misgivings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people who were weak of Iman and the munafiqeen, they started complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they started having misgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ بْتُولِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. It was at that point that the mu'mineen were tested and they were shaken severely. زُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. They were shaken. Shaken meaning they were tested. Tested severely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the munafiqeen that they started saying that مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, that Allah and His Prophet, they were just making us false promises. So all this time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been telling them things and he's been promising them victory, and now it seems like all of Medina is surrounded and the Muslims are going to be destroyed. So obviously the weak of Iman and the munafiqeen, they are making a big issue. And then there are not munafiqeen, but people who are weak, and they started making excuses, saying, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةً. They're saying that our houses are exposed, we need to go back home. Why? Because they did not want to face this challenge. So there's the munafiqeen, basically sowing seeds of dissent amongst the people. And then there are people who are weak of Iman, also fleeing and retreating. And then you have a third group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says were the mu'mineen. Who were the mu'mineen? And what was their reaction to this huge challenge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about 10 ayahs later, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. When the mu'mineen saw the confederate army, they said that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet have promised us. And Allah and His Prophet are true. What is the promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet? Again and again throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you will be challenged. You will face adversity. Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people think that they're going to be just left after they say Amanna, we have Iman, and they're not going to be tested? Every single person is going to be tested. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people who will be tested the most are the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, then the pious people, then according to their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll be tested. They'll be put through a rigorous test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see who comes through with flying colors. And this is what happened in Ghazwatul Ahzab. The three groups of people that emerged basically reflected what kind of iman they had. So the munafiqeen, the people who are mu'mineen but they were a little weak of iman, and then the true mu'mineen emerged. And the true mu'mineen are who? The person who realizes that each and every step of mine is there's a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will challenge me at any given day or time. And each challenge that I face should be tackled head on, and I should not just give up and sit down and lose hope and become despondent. This is not what a mu'min does. And look again, it was not something that was easy for people to bear. It's said that at that time during Ghazwatul Ahzab, the people were so hungry, and it was winter. It was Madinatul Munawwara, which is cold during the winter months. And the people were hungry. A sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, we're so hungry, what are we supposed to do? He lifted his shirt up and he had a stone tied to his stomach to make him feel full. The Prophet ﷺ himself raised his shirt and he had two stones tied to his stomach. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. But look at again how the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged them. It is narrated by Bara ibn Azib, لَمَّا كَانِ يَوْمُ الْخَنْدَقِ وَرِضَتْ لَنَا فِي بَعْضِ الْخَنْدَقِ صَخْرَةِ. When we were digging this trench that was around Medina, this huge rock came and we had to break it. Nobody could do that. فَاشْتَكَيْنَا ذَلِكَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. We complained about that to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَجَاءَهُ وَأَخَذَ الْمِعْوَلِ. He came and he took the pickaxe and he said, Bismillah. He said, Bismillah. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ ضَرْبَةً. He hit it one with one stroke. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَعُطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ الشَّامِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَنْظُرُ قُصُورَهَا الْحَمْرُ السَّاعَ. He hit the rock and he said, Allahu Akbar, I've been given the keys of Syria. I can see the red palaces of Syria right now in front of my eyes. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ ثَانِيًا فَقَطَعَ آخَرَ. He hit it one more time and he broke it into more another couple of pieces. فَقَالَ Allahu Akbar, وَعَطِيتُ فَارِسِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْصِرُ قَصْرَ الْمَدَائِنِ الْأَبْيَضِ الْآنِ. He said, I've been given the keys of Faris, the keys of Persia, and I can see the palaces of Madain, the white palaces of Madain, right now in front of me. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ ثَالِثًا. And he hit it a third time. And he said, Bismillah. And he said, Allahu Akbar, وَعَطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ الْيَمَنِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْصِرُ أَبْوَابَ صَنَعَاءَ مِنْ مَكَانِي. I've been given the keys of Yemen, and I can see the doors, the gates of Yemen, right from this place. So look at the hope that the Prophet ﷺ was trying to instill into the people of the time. And look at the challenge of taking this hope to those people who have got rocks tied on their stomach. And it's freezing cold. They think that they might be destroyed at any time because of this huge army that is surrounding Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ is still making promises to them and making them believe that Islam will be victorious. Again, a person who is weak looks at the surrounding situation and he becomes despondent and loses hope. But the mu'mineen, the true mu'mineen, they know that when the Prophet ﷺ has made a promise, that promise will come to fruition. It will come true. And of course, Islam was victorious. Islam did get victory over these superpowers, the superpowers of Persia and Rome of the time, despite huge odds which were against them. So this is the lesson that we can learn from Ghazwatul Ahzab, that we should never become despondent and lose hope. We have to do what we have to do in terms of rising up to the challenge as Muslims. And the challenges are that we, first and foremost, we should be good practicing Muslims and lead by example in showing Islam to the people. Even if we cannot preach it, we have to be good practicing Muslims, good law-abiding citizens, and be active within the communities that we're living in. Not just in the Muslim activities, but any voluntary requirement there is for helping out in hospitals and so on, we should stand and do as much as we can to volunteer for that. If we look at the khutbah, the last khutbah, khutbatul wada' of the Prophet ﷺ, we will find that in this khutbah is a summary of all forms of civil rights that could be challenged in the future. Every single minority, every person who could be oppressed is mentioned in khutbatul wada', in the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ. In this khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the issue of slaves. As-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Guard your salah, and what your right hands possess. Meaning the slaves also have rights. Make sure that you do not oppress these slaves that are under your control. There's a very famous hadith related about Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, that Abu Dharr, who is a great sahabi, he insulted his slave once. And this slave, he came and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually arose that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was asked one day that how come you and your slave are wearing exactly the same quality of clothes, and how come you give them exactly the same type of food? So he related the story. He says that I once insulted my slave, and he complained to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ turned around and said to me, إِنَّكَ مْرُونَ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةَ. You are a person in which there are traces of jahiliyyah. It's a slave, a servant that he insulted, which we would all do back home. But the Prophet ﷺ said, this is jahiliyyah, this is ignorance that you're doing. And the Prophet ﷺ went on to say that these are your brothers in humanity. If you give them work to do, then help them. Don't overburden them. If you give them difficult work, فَعِينُهُ, help them. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says that from that day on, I have treated my slave equally. When I buy something, I buy equally the same thing for my slave. This is the rights that Islam gives to even slaves. And of course, the setting slaves free was something that was encouraged by Islam from the very beginning, and slaves slowly by being set free, slavery was diminished from Islamic society. But going back to the issue of khutbatul wada', in this khutbah the Prophet ﷺ talked about, first of all, the rights of the slaves, talked about the rights of the women that were oppressed in that time, and he said to the people that make sure that you guard the rights of these women that are like prisoners underneath you. Make sure you treat them carefully and fulfill their rights, because they have rights over you. Women before Islam, they did not have rights. So in khutbatul wada', the Prophet ﷺ, he told the people that make sure you guard the rights of the women. And on top of that, the Prophet ﷺ, he said a statement which, if we were to reflect upon it, it is something that any organization that talks about human rights would be proud of. The Prophet ﷺ said, أيها الناس إن ربكم واحد وإن أباكم واحد كلكم لآدم وآدم من تراب أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم وليس لعربي على عجمي فضل إلا بالتقوى. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, indeed your Lord is one, your father is one, Adam alayhi salam, all of you are from Adam, and Adam was created from soil. All of you are created from soil. And the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa. And there is no priority and no preference that should be given to an Arab over a non-Arab, to a white over a black, to a black over a white. Islam has given these rights to everybody, human rights, civil rights that we talk about and we proclaim are something which are things which are new. This is something that was given to us and taught to us 1400 years ago. And yet, despite all of the hurdles that the civil rights movement has had to overcome, there are still issues, there is still racism in this country. Islam is the solution to these problems. Islam is the solution to racism. We should not just blame the non-Muslims for racism. Muslims also are racist. Okay, there is a lot of racism amongst the Muslims also. So it's not just we have to look at our communities, our own countries first, before pointing fingers at other people. We have to reflect upon the sayings and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ that were taught to us 1400 years ago, and on top of that, the Prophet ﷺ taught us the issue in the Khutbatul Wada, the issue of interest. Interest, which is a means of oppression and imprisoning people with loans that last a lifetime. This was something that the Prophet ﷺ also criticized, and he said that this is something which is not permissible anymore. And all of these things were mentioned in Khutbatul Wada. So basically, to summarize, we as Muslims, we have and we will have so many challenges. We should take lessons from the people that came before us in this country who had these hurdles, and they overcame these hurdles, and they are still overcoming these hurdles from the civil rights movement. We have a system in place which we can use to challenge people who fight against us. There is a constitution in place, and this constitution gives us so many rights. We talked about the election and voting and so on, and we have to use the system that is in place to promote the rights and the welfare of the Muslims in this country. We should not back off, we should not sit down, we should take up all of these challenges and face them. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Just your nonsense, inshallah. Everybody is requested to donate at least $100 per week for the masjid construction. The masjid construction, as you know, we are trying to get that underway, and we need at least $1 million to start that off. So inshallah, we need to expand the masjid. So please try your best to give $100 per week for that masjid construction. And in addition to that, the $20 per week that we always ask for, which is for the regular monthly expenses. On Saturday, November 29th, ICI will host our monthly psychology workshop for our community. The program will be held in room 210. The program begins at 9:30 a.m. Okay, so the psychology. We've had one workshop already, and the next workshop is going to be November 29th. The ICI Dawah Department is hosting a Dawah training session tomorrow, Saturday, November 15th, 2008, and that's going to be 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and it's going to be taught by myself and Sister Reem Al-Ghunaymi, and the pre-registration is now open. The fee is $20 per person. In the last Dawah workshop, very few people from Irving turned up. There were people from other communities, but very few from here. So please try to participate in that. Dawah is something that needs to be learned. It is not something that you know automatically. Okay, so please come and participate. The Mass Ikna annual convention is going to be on Thursday, November